From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of April, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll hear how this year might compare to 1988. That's right, 1988, when we discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And along the way, we'll get updates of the crop progress and conditions in Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana from the state statisticians right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished with the May wheat futures down 14 and three quarters of a cent at $8.11 and a quarter a bushel. July at $8.47, down 14 and a quarter. And September contract there at $8.90, down 12 and three quarters for the soft red, hard red in Kansas City, 10 and a quarter cents lower. Settlement price at $9.60 and three quarters of a cent a bushel. May corn futures back in Chicago, $7.66 and a quarter. The lead option settlement price up 3 3/4. July at $7.72. 2 3/4, 4 1/4 higher in September contract, 7.24 1/2, up 0.5 cent. That finishes off the old crop corn. December new crop, 6.75 3/4, down 5 3/4. The March at 6.85 1/2, 4 1/4 lower. And May of next year at $6.93 1/2, down 3 1/4. May soybeans at $13.82 3/4, down 6 3/4. July at $13.89 1/4, down 7 1/4. And the August beans, $13.88, down 6 1/2 cents. November at $13.74 3/4, down 7 3/4 of a cent. January contract of next year at $13.83 1/4, new crop there, down 6 3/4 of a cent. May bean meal at $3.59.80, down $1.30. May soybean oil at $58.05, down 16 cents. Live cattle futures finished the June contract at $112.30, 50 cents lower. The August at $114.45, unchanged. The August feeder cattle at $132.95 were down $1 on the day. Nearby May contract down $1.22 1/2 at $128.75. And the May lean hogs today at $98.62 1/2 for 100 pounds, finished down $2.02 1/2. June at $97.10, down $1.42 1/2. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. June crude oil futures at $112.15 a barrel, down 13 cents. Ethanol at $2.64 1/2, down a penny, or rather up a penny and 4/10 at this hour. And natural gas at $4.39 1/4. That's 3/10 of a cent higher. Heating oil finished the diesel contract at $3.21 2/10, up 3 cents. And the gold futures at $1,503, down $5.60 on the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,596, just about 116 points higher. The dollar at 73.83, down 0.15. And the CRB index at 366.19. is down 0.37 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service. It says this afternoon a 30% chance of showers. It'll be cloudy, a high near 69 degrees, breezy southwest winds at 20 to 22. They'll gust all the way to 31 for the day. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy, a low of 49 degrees. West southwest winds between 11 and 14. Those winds could gust as high as 17. Chance of precip this evening is 60%. Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms are likely. Cloudy, a high near 58. North-northwest winds at 10 to 13. A chance of precip tomorrow stays at 60%. Wednesday night, a 30% chance of rainfall. Showers before 1 a.m. Cloudy, a low of 41 degrees. West-northwest winds at about 14 miles an hour. On Thursday, we'll have cloudy skies, a high near 58. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 41. And Friday, finally, the sun peeks through and a high of near 69 degrees with sunny skies. Friday night, partly cloudy again, a low of 55. Saturday, the showers return and a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high near 75 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd. Mm-hmm. I think we can see a little bit of sun now.
Well, yeah, the sun's starting to peek through, but I bet you get rainfall again.
Oh, well, we take what little bit of good we can have.
Yeah, take a little bit of
sunshine.
We're
trying to be optimistic in New Market.
There you go. Were you optimistic of the corn market, and did it surprise you that it turned around in the new crop today?
We were under pressure, but with 10 minutes to go, we were down 10, and we only closed down 5 3/4. We're getting a little bit of a blip out of the European weather model. It's talking about some dry weather next week. That doesn't seem to verify with the American model when it comes out, but there's a little divergence there, and we run up against the contract highs. Real close to it last night with that 684, and that's when we saw some of the profit taking place. So, that seems to be a real resistance level to break through for right now, Todd.
Is it possible to make it through, or do we have to wait for more rainfall and fewer planters? There aren't any planters in the field at this point, but for the planters not to roll?
I think if we get 5 days down the road and both weather forecasts say it's another week or so before we get in the field, I think we'll punch through that number.
Yeah, and right now the American models are saying that will be the case. I think I've already recorded, of course, the weather forecast. You'll hear with Don Day a bit later in this program, and I know that he tells me next week there are 4 or 5 open days, but the rainfall turns back around, and there are several forecasters that say middle of May before we really think about opening things up.
And that will put a little oomph in the new crop corn.
Well, I guess.
And it will also help strengthen the July corn, Doug, because if not planting till then, we must remember that a lot of that early harvested corn won't be available if we don't get planted until later.
But forecasts change, and so we'll be here each and every business day trying to follow that, and I know producers will be too. What else should they be watching in the marketplace?
Well, I think it's going to be very important what comes out of the FOMC meeting, Todd, to see if there's any changes in what we're looking at that might have any sort of effect on the American dollar. That, of course, if they would do something like raise interest rates at all or talk about raising interest rates, would put a little strength behind the dollar. And that, of course, is one of the things that's helping fuel the rally is the weakness in the dollar. The crude oil, of course, it is a major thing to be watching as the ethanol factor and the corn and how we're going to continue to use it or pay more for it. We looked at the Dow Jones. We're seeing a pretty good bump up today, 128 points higher. And that's generally, if we can get a little bit of confidence back into things, helps the grain markets move also.
No, in the last couple of weeks, many of the traders have pointed to gasoline usage in the United States as one of the biggest factors, or crude oil. And the idea that it has slipped and will continue to slip, is that still in the mix?
Most definitely. I think, as we looked at that and talk about it is, most of our gasoline out there that we buy has 10% ethanol in it. And if what we do goes down, if the gallons would go down 5%, why, we're going to sell 5% less because it's not going to be going into the cars and being used up. And over $4, we'll probably slip in gasoline usage again next week.
Were you surprised, switching gears just a bit, were you surprised that soybeans went down today as well?
Well, yes and no. We've felt that China has definitely slowed down their usage of beans. Mm-hmm. They've definitely been some cancellation of shipments out of South America. They have definitely still continue to put their thumb on the processors over there that they have a limited amount they can sell their oil for, which has kept them somewhat in the red on their processing. So, and when we do all that and we look down at South America, that's got a lot of beans ready to come on the market. And we look at these planting delays. As one of my customers said today, it's not that we're going to not maybe get our 92 million acres of corn, but that extra field that we're going to switch to corn is probably going to go in beans. We'll start planting as late as we're looking at. Or we might plant an extra 40 of beans that we would have put to corn otherwise. So, we see that the bean market is not that tight or that strong. But we do see the basis level tightening here in the U.S., especially at the Gulf, where because of the high water on the rivers that the barges haven't made it down, we increased about 10 to 14 cents in the last week and a half. and the basis levels at the Gulf, and probably about 8 to 10 cents on the interior levels at the processing plants, because the farmers just haven't moved many beans in the last 2 weeks.
You think that the rainfall will cause many farmers, if they stay out of the field long enough, will they change actually from corn to beans?
Well, I think it's going to be in certain areas, Todd. Along the river, where water is standing, and until it gets away, and it's going to have to get very unsaturated. We were talking to one of our customers down around Terre Haute, and you know, they're talking not about switching yet, but just a longer time period, because the water's up covering a lot of fields now, not just saturated, but totally covering it. And the fields up above it can't drain until the ones lower close to the river move on out. So they're saying they're even another 3 or 4 days beyond what we would be if it quit raining today.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
That's about it today, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. Now, tomorrow, I want you to visit the Farm Doc Daily website. I know there will be a bit posted there from Gary Schnitke, who's an ag economist, taking a look at the switch from corn to soybean acres and when that happens to make sense and when it doesn't. And if you're interested to see what happens on your farm, it's possible to download a Fast Tools spreadsheet to do that. That's an Excel spreadsheet. It will be posted into the Farm Doc Daily website tomorrow. Gary Schnitke and the folks here taking some of the numbers from the crop scientist on campus, putting them all back into a spreadsheet and saying, well, when is it that corn acres might switch to soybean acres? I think you'll be interested in what those numbers happen to say. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture, National Agricultural Statistics Service, that's NAS, released its weekly crop progress report. It showed that nationwide in the 18 reporting states, 9% of the corn crop this year had been planted. That compares with 7% a week earlier and 46% last year. The rolling five-year average on the 24th day of April, by the way, is 23% complete. Now, here's an update of regional differences from the five top corn-producing states in the nation.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending April 24, 2011. Field work throughout Iowa was virtually suspended during the week due to wet and cold conditions. With temperatures that average well below normal and snowfall in many areas in the northern half of the state, producers who are anxious and ready to plant had to keep their planting equipment in the machine shed. Meanwhile, a few producers who have been able to get a few acres planted are concerned about having to replant fields if the corn does not germinate and develop. Statewide, there was just a half a day suitable for field work during the week. Only 3% of Iowa's corn acreage has been planted, compared with the rapid 61% pace last year at this time and the five-year average of 28%. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending April 24th. The week ended with temperatures averaging about 5 degrees below normal, while rainfall averaged 2 inches above normal at 2.97 inches. The Southeastern Crop Reporting District reported the most rainfall at 4.61 inches, or 3.5 inches above normal. Corn planting made virtually no progress last week, advancing by only 1 percentage point, and is now at 10% complete. This compares to 67% planted last year and 27% for the five-year average. 1% of the crop was reported emerged, compared to 9% last year and 3% for the five-year average. Leading the state in corn planting progress was the Southwestern Crop Reporting District, where 41% had been planted by week's end. The condition of the soft red winter wheat crop declined somewhat from last week due to the cool, wet conditions, and was reported at 2% very poor, 9% poor, 33% fair, 47% good, and 9% excellent. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Nebraska Field Office with the April 24th Crop Progress Report. Cool, wet conditions continued for the second week, limiting spring planting activities. Significant moisture fell in the panhandle, while the eastern two-thirds of the state recorded less than 1 inch of moisture in most locations. This, coupled with temperatures well below normal, resulted in poor drying conditions. Producers watched soil temperatures decline as air temperatures averaged near 10 degrees below normal. Corn planting advanced slowly during the week to 5% complete. This is behind last year's 20% and 15% average. Winter wheat conditions continue fair to good, below both last year and average. Wheat jointed was at 10%, also below a year ago. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. This past week provided no relief from continuing cold and wet conditions. Statewide average temperatures were 7.1 degrees below normal. A large storm on April 19th and 20th passed across southeastern Minnesota and dropped record-setting snowfall in some areas, including 3.8 inches in Rochester and 5.1 inches in La Crescent. Weather conditions have contributed to saturated fields and low soil temperatures. The anticipated start date for full-scale fieldwork was pushed back to May 1st. Land prepared for corn and soybeans were rated 2% and 1%, respectively, unchanged from the previous week. Precipitation received during the week did not significantly impact area rivers. Water levels have receded, but several areas along the Minnesota River are still under flood warning. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS. Severe weather moved across the state Tuesday night with 14 confirmed tornadoes which uprooted trees and caused damage to many homes and buildings. Some areas of the state have received record levels of rainfall for the month of April with more in the forecast. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 1.46 to 5.79 inches, leaving only a half day suitable for field work during the week. Planting of corn did not progress during the week and is only 2% planted compared with 50% last year and 15% for the five-year average. This is approximately 13 days behind last year's record-setting pace and 10 days behind the five-year average. Winter wheat condition is rated 61% good to excellent compared with 71% last year at this time. Some winter wheat acreage is beginning to show signs of stress because of excess moisture. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Just a couple of moments, we'll talk with Dan O'Brien from K-State about the agricultural energy markets.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Tuesday afternoon, our time to take a look at the agricultural energy markets as we do each and every week. And once a month, we do that with Dan O'Brien. He's an extension agricultural economist at K-State or Kansas State University. Dan, thanks for taking the time with us today.
Yes, Todd.
Many are wondering who's going to blink first in the high price of corn, whether that'll be the livestock industry, the export market, or the ethanol market. And I guess there is some answer to that question at this point, and it lies in the production of fuel ethanol over the past several weeks.
Well, I think the answer to that will depend on a whole bunch of factors, and probably whoever blinks will be the first one that has to suffer the revenue going down faster than the inputs. So, you know, it'll work itself out market-wise. But in terms of what we've seen in the ethanol market, yes, from the first week of January through about the third week in April, we were ranging in production between 880,000 and 925,000 barrels per day of ethanol. And here we came in on the fourth week of April with a sharp drop down to about 855,000 barrels. You know, what's ironic is that, I guess to be brought into the discussion, is that here the Energy Information Administration expects blending to increase 5% from the summer of 2010. So what's looked at here might be just a temporary cutback. We're unsure. That put us closer to about 912,000 barrels per day. So what's projected for this summer is that we'd be back up over 900,000 barrels. And I guess we'll see what occurs. So much depends on the health of the overall U.S. economy and just the degree to which U.S. consumers are buying gasoline.
Are you able to look then into the ethanol market itself and see a reason behind what you may term as this temporary slowdown in production?
Well, it could have to do with the role of inventories being built up. Very likely, some fears about corn prices moving higher. You know, the planting delays we're seeing in other parts of the country and wet soils that we're anticipating will lead to planting delays probably has some people wondering about what the price of corn will be this summer. And again, as we talked about, you have the marginal gains in the cost versus the marginal gains in the revenues. And if the price of corn jumps up tremendously, that would have a big impact. In terms of looking at profitability for ethanol plants in Iowa and probably very representative of what you're seeing there in Illinois, we're still showing profits of about 7 cents a gallon with 257 ethanol prices at those plants for sales and about 250 break-evens. That's taking into account corn at about 706. Well, if corn jumps up to 725, 750, and the price of ethanol would stay where it's at now, well, you know, we'd see a real crunch upon the profitability of those ethanol plants and even more evidence of cutbacks in production, just as we've seen in this last week here from the EIA.
Now, lost in the fray of the high price of corn and commodities moving higher over the last several months has been, at least here on our programs, the announcement by U.S. EPA last fall that it would move forward with E15.
Yes. All manner of questions as to just how quickly that will come about. The Energy Information Administration came out and said that they're actually anticipating a slowdown in the growth of ethanol production over the next couple of years. They're looking at about a 40,000 barrels per day increase through the remainder of 2011, and then that's slowing down to 10,000 barrels per day. Even though the E15 approval is out there, what form will it take? Will we have the permission to go up to E15, or will we have the mandate to make it happen? That will determine the day, I think, in terms of where the ethanol industry goes and its capacity expansion on down the road.
And then talk a bit about that mandate and what kind of capacity we have to meet the mandate at the moment and what a mandate, if it were put in place for E15, would mean.
Well, right now, according to the Renewable Fuels Renewable Fuels Association. I'm getting my acronyms all mixed up.
That's okay.
Renewable Fuels Association. We're at about 13.8 billion gallons per year of operating refineries right now that are actually running. And now there's 637 million gallons under construction. If we went clear to E15, we would probably be looking at close to 20 to 21 billion gallons per year. And we'd be using about 7.5 billion bushels of corn at current technological efficiencies. Right now, we're anticipating about 5 billion. So if we do go to E15, as we've talked about and as you've heard from other news sources, it would have a demand pull effect on corn acreage and corn production to keep up with the demand capacity and the usage of corn that would be required.
Dan, thank you so much for taking the time with us. We'll talk with you again in another month.
Todd, have a great day.
Hey, you too. Dan O'Brien is with K-State Extension, and that's Kansas State. He joins us here once a month on a Tuesday afternoon to talk about the agricultural energy markets, back in just 2 minutes, when Don Day will be here to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stewart-peterson.com.
It's National Pretzel Day. The pretzel dates back to as early as 610 AD, where it was believed that monks used scraps of dough and formed them into strips to represent a child's arms folded in prayer. The hard pretzel was the lucky result of a 17th century Pennsylvania baker's helper who accidentally overbaked a batch of soft pretzels. Not only was the batch crunchy and tasty, the master baker realized the moistureless pretzel would keep fresh longer. On this day in agricultural history in 1921, the first U.S. broadcast of the weather was made from St. Louis over radio station WEW for the federal government. In 1986, Chernobyl nuclear plant in the Ukraine exploded in what was then the worst nuclear disaster in history. In addition to the human toll, agriculture and livestock was contaminated by radiation in large areas of Europe for years to come. In 2005, a herd of buffalo escaped from a farm and wandered around a Baltimore, Maryland suburb, disrupting traffic and shutting down several major highways. Police eventually herded them onto a tennis court. In 2006, Chicago banned the sale of foie gras. The ban, adopted on a 48-1 vote of the Chicago City Council, made restaurants and retail outlets selling the fatty livers of geese and ducks subject to a $500 fine. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley was less than enthusiastic. He was quoted as saying, "We have children getting killed by gang leaders and dope dealers, and we're dealing with foie gras? Let's get some priorities." And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us now to take a look at a wet forecast for the Midwest. Start out by telling me if there are any dry spots around the nation that we can look at and say, hey, they're going to plant this week.
Well, the only places that are dry want rain.
that I could believe. So tell me about the wet areas.
Well, I tell you, the wet areas will continue to get wet. We see at least for another 10, 12 days, a series of systems will continue to move west to east across the country. They're getting their start up in the Gulf of Alaska, then swinging through the Northern Rockies and Plain States. And this is a pattern that's been in place for more than 2 weeks and has another week and a half to go at least. So we're going to continue to see systems about every other day and a half move through. And this is going to continue to cause bouts of heavy rain and more severe weather. The next batch shower and thunderstorm activity that will be affecting our neck of the woods is going to be coming in late tomorrow. In terms of shower and thunderstorm activity today, a lot of it's going to be to our east. But by tomorrow morning, we'll see an area of showers and thunderstorms break out across southeastern Illinois, Indiana, into Ohio. Then tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night, another batch will develop over the rest of Illinois, Missouri, portions of Iowa. Then that system is likely going to be followed by another one that'll be coming in as we get into the weekend. So we might be able to squeeze in a couple of drier days Thursday and Friday, but after that it's going to get wet again.
Soils are saturated. Waters are flooding in the Midwest. Doesn't look like there's much relief. How much rainfall do you think and how widespread? Is everybody going to get a bit of something over the next 3 or 4 days? Is that right?
Yes, they will. Now, there's going to be multiple systems, and each system will spread different amounts of rain in different areas at different times. But when you average it all together, when you put all these systems together between now and through the weekend, everyone from the northern Corn Belt to the western Belt to the southern and central and eastern areas can expect rainfall. It's going to range anywhere from 1 to 3 inches. Some areas may get more than that in some of the heavier showers and thunderstorms. So it's going to stay very damp.
And when you look further out, any drying once we get into that first week of May?
I think the first week of May may be able to start off, let's say the first 4 or 5 days of May, there's a hint that we're going to see some drier, warmer weather move in. But towards that second week of May, we could get wet again. Any break that we see in these systems at the most will be 3 to 4 days. We might see the separation between the systems get a little bit longer, giving us a little chance to dry out in between them. But at least through May 12th, we're going to still see the possibility of being wet.
Historically, how often or unusual is this kind of set of systems coming across the Midwest, do you think?
Not unusual after a strong La Nina when the Pacific is cold. It has happened before, and this is one of the stronger La Ninas we've had. And there is usually, and we can go back in our weather records and see, after a cold episode in the Pacific, a strong La Nina, you have stormy, wet springs punctuated by the severe weather, which we've already seen. So it's not unusual, based on the pattern that we've seen in the Pacific, to have what we're having right now.
Do you have an idea of which years those might have been?
okay, when we've had strong La Ninas or moderately strong La Ninas and some wet springs, some of these years might be familiar to folks. 1998 and 1999 and 2007 and 1988 were years where we had strong La Ninas.
Oh, well, at least one of those people will remember for sure.
Yes, I bet they will.
It got really dry. That's Don Day with Day Weather. I'm Todd Gleason. This has been the Closing Market Report.